Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, a great first half plan for you guys. Ian Edwards, super funny stand-up comedians in. And Sonny Carolla is in. Well, he just came in to work with me, so I threw him up on the mic, and we thought we'd check in with Sonny, see how his voice has changed. All right. I want to thank Simply Safe. Did you know most break-ins happen between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m.? Right, that's right. Middle of the day, yo. When you're out. Wait a minute, I'm out right now, but I got Simply Safe. You know, only one in five homes have security. Let's not be one of those homes that doesn't have it. Most companies don't make it easy. Expensive drilling, wires, pulling wires, hassle, mess. Simply Safe protects your whole home, every window and room and door, and 24/7 monitoring at a fraction of the cost, just $15 a month, everyone. Designed to blend right into your home, and it's won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times, Wirecutter. Great stuff, great company, great sponsor. Been working with these guys for so many years now. Simply Safe, two eyes, simplysafe.com/Adam for free shipping and a 60-day free trial, risk-free trial. Check it out, simplysafe.com/Adam.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rocket Mortgage. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home is much more than a house. That's why when you find the perfect place for you and your family, getting a mortgage shouldn't be difficult and it shouldn't get in the way. And that's why there's Rocket Mortgage. Their team of mortgage experts, number one goal is to make home buying process a smoother, easier process for you. Quicken Loans help millions of Americans achieve the dream of home ownership. And when you're ready to purchase a home and it's the home of your dreams, well, then they can help you too. J.D. Power ranked Quicken Loans highest in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination 9 years in a row and highest in mortgage servicing 5 years in a row. Not too shabby. Get started online at rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage. Rocket Mortgage. Right, Dawson?
Visit rocketmortgage.com/Adam and take the first step toward the home of your dreams. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Push button, get mortgage.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for the third month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month's shipment includes a bottle of Vinny's Pure Vitamin Ultra Salt Hangover Cure. Four, count them, four sample bags of Country Archer Jerky, including original turkey, mango habanero, and teriyaki, an Olga Cha-Cha-Cha Blue Apron, and of course, a bottle of your choice. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut. Hurry. We will sell out.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Ian Edwards. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, a little talk with Sonny Carolla, and Dave Damashek is here for good sports. And now, still buzzing about the U.S. Women's Soccer Championship. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love that about you. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
You've dropped me.
Sonny Carolla in studio. I just gathered Sonny up and I took him with me today. And he just happened to be around. And we were talking about life on the way in. First off, Sonny.
Yeah.
Feelings on soccer.
It's pretty boring to watch.
Yeah, it is.
And it's quite boring to play.
Yep. Mm. Sucks.
I don't understand the getting tapped on the shoulder and falling over and you miraculously broke your leg.
Games. Yep. All right. My work is done with you.
Congratulations.
You hate soccer.
You created a Jim Carolla.
He hates soccer. I love that about this boy. I was, Sonny's getting ready to leave town for one of his 6-day basketball tournaments in Vegas. Remember when your folks would pack up the wagon, but buy the plane tickets and get the hotel rooms and you just go to Vegas for a week and play basketball?
Extend it for a little extra, me time.
Well, they're going from Vegas to Chicago then. They're going to hang out there for
a
week.
That's what I'm saying.
After that, right, Sonny?
Yeah.
So,
what's in Chicago?
Oh, a lot of my cousins live there, so we get to see them.
Right.
Your
cousin Bruce?
Mm-hmm. Cousin Brucey. So he's going.
How many cousins named Bruce do you have?
2, 3, 4. He's going. He's going out to Chicago. So he's going to be gone for like 12 days?
Something like that. I'm not really sure how long because mom just said we're leaving on the 10th.
Right. But you'll be gone.
There's no return ticket.
I'm going to miss you. You're going to miss Phil, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our relationship. And
just you and Natalia, some daddy-daughter?
Yeah, how's that going to go down?
Oh, no. She's going to Chicago.
Oh.
She's going
to meeting you in Chicago?
What?
She's meeting you in Chicago after Vegas?
I think she's going to... See, we have cousins in town right now, so I think she's going to go back with them.
Okay.
She'll be escorted. On, like, the 12th or something. And then she's already going to... She's going to be there for, like, 3 days longer than me and Mom because... But we'll be in Vegas. I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, that makes
Remember,
sense.
Remember, in Vegas, you're in charge of the room service, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't go nuts on that room service.
The room service, well, it's Vegas, so there's a lot of restaurants that are a little better than room service. So.
Okay, Dad.
That'll be manageable.
God.
Okay, all right. Enjoy. I hope you're enjoying your life, Sonny.
I am.
And again, once again, my goal is to be rich enough to live the life that Sonny leads.
You'll get there. You'll get there,
You never know.
Keep plugging away.
I may fall. I may slip at a Costco and sue them for all they're worth. Or maybe a Tracy Morgan type situation happens.
Aim for the stars. Maybe I'll get the moon.
Mm-hmm. So, Sonny, you were explaining to me that you were lamenting going back to school.
Yeah.
You've been off for 3 weeks.
Yeah, you still got what, like 6-7 weeks left? Ish?
Like a month.
Oh, poor thing.
Come on. He has dread about sitting there because it's a dread for boys, especially super active boys, to be locked down in a class while the sun is shining. They have a kind of a dread, even a little bit.
It drains your will.
It's a phobia. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like when you're a young boy, all you want to do is run around. And then someone goes, go in there, shut the door, and sit down.
Right. Put on your 5-point harness.
Super boring middle aged broad is going to pontificate about the Civil War, and you're going to just sit there dormant. What, and it freaks the kids out. Yes.
What's kind of insult to injury is I don't know if it's going to be like this for eighth grade, but in seventh grade, there was the part of the building that had all the classes was up on the third floor, and right next at the left side of each class there was a big window.
Oh, that's nice.
And you could look out.
Yeah.
And
dream.
All you would see was this big, long field, which is like a bunch of little toddlers because there's like a preschool right next to our school or something.
You wanted to get out on that field and run around.
Yeah, and there's just a bunch of toddlers just running and running and running. So
but
you,
they don't let you play, like, football or dodgeball or any of the good stuff,
oh, no,
right?
Too violent.
Too violent. Mm. Why teach anyone how to compete? Certainly wouldn't want them to learn how to compete. Just put them in a fetal position. Yeah. See if they can get to their own junk.
We're not to go outside. But if you do, definitely don't do any of these things.
It's so sad. Yeah. Anyway, I was thinking about pulling you out of school and just raising you.
Yay.
No.
I'm really wondering what school's even for anymore. You have a computer. You can learn everything. I mean, look at me. I'm an expert on the Partridge Family. And I didn't learn that in a classroom. I did the work in front of the TV set.
What he
drunk.
Knows you can't teach.
Yeah. So you're dreading going back to school.
Yes.
But before that, you get to go to Vegas and play 151 basketball games.
Yeah.
All right. And then you get to go to Chicago and eat your weight in deep dish pizza.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the deep
sausage and then, sweet peppers.
And then you get to go to Laguna Seca.
Well, that's when school starts.
Yeah, but you won't be in class,
Jack. Yeah, that's a nice transition into
that's
school.
That's for suckers.
That's extra credit.
That's the best part about the beginning of the only good part about the beginning of the year. Maybe football season, but that's like a month into school.
Mm. Yeah. I was thinking about your mom being gone for all that time, and I thought, you know, the thing about travel and being away, there's three parts. There's how do you get away? Like, how do you not have to do whatever it is you have to do here?
Time.
So it's negotiating getting away. Figure that part out. And then there's two bummer parts of traveling for an extended period of time. Money.
Yeah.
And inevitably you put on weight because you're just eating and eating and eating. Lynette has neither concern for either category.
She's immune.
She can't put weight on. And as far as the money goes, I'll be here pedaling that bike. So she's funded and she doesn't gain weight. So imagine just going like every night. Wow. Like you went deep dish pizza and banana splits afterward. Like, let's do
it. Traveling with impunity.
Did save an orphanage full of kittens in a former life? Because she is
They're paying her back.
God love her.
Yeah.
You got all the good genes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sonny?
Yeah.
All right, so going to Vegas, spending daddy's money.
Uh-huh.
Going to Chicago, spending daddy's money. Hey, you're not flying first class, are you?
No.
Daddy flies coach.
Yeah, no, we're
it's
not.
It's a short flight.
Yeah.
But no. I'm thinking more to Chicago.
Oh, yeah, that's we're a good the only, point, yeah. We're the only family, or one of the very few, that are actually flying there. A lot of my friends are, like, carpooling.
Yeah, because that's...
That. 5 hours.
To save money.
Well, see, I don't make the decisions. Mom does. I don't argue with it, but
yeah, he doesn't protest.
Got a little lawyer.
All right. So
where are you staying, Sonny? Do you know?
No. Oh. I know we're staying at the same place as last year, but I can't remember the name of it.
I imagine it's on the Strip.
Mm-hmm.
It's. I remember it's like.
Is there a lion or the Pirates?
I think the Mandalay Bay.
That's a nice place.
It's a nice
good pool.
Hotel.
So
yeah.
Great
nice
pool.
Yeah. Sure, it's free.
Enjoy.
All right, Brada. Have fun out there bouncing your ball endlessly.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh.
Bye, son.
Can we have your drop? Your
That's
famous...
just a waste of my time.
Well, hold on. I stepped on it. Here we go.
Got to get clean.
Now, you were telling me last night you wanted to do voiceover work, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Like so, I'm going to be like a Dawson. You be the producer.
Dude.
You tell Sonny we need three clear but different flavor on each one takes on That's Just a Waste of My Time. All right. So, Sonny.
All right.
Pretend we're in a studio. Oh, wait a minute. Pretend Dawson's an audio. Oh, we got that part too. All right. Dawson is your engineer and you're dropping lines for your call.
Here's a reading.
All right, it's just Sonny. A waste of my time.
That's where you're going off of.
I'm just going to let the tape roll.
A couple different ones.
You're going to roll that tape.
I'm just going to let the tape roll. You just take it. These are wild lines. Just a waste of my time. It's just a waste of my time. Three different ways. Go for it.
That's just a waste of my time. Shoot. Yeah. That's just a waste of my time?
Yeah.
That's good.
I don't know. It's,
one more.
Give me one more.
That's just a waste of my time.
All right, now, let's
sing
one,
a song.
Let's do one with a smile.
That's just a waste of my time.
Perfect. Thank
That's
you.
Good.
We got it.
That's good.
The kids got it.
All right. Sonny, now one more super aggravated and angry.
All right. That's just a waste of my time.
All right, but don't laugh right after.
Okay, one more for safety.
One more for safety.
Wait, like the same one or just...
Yeah, same one.
Okay, have fun with it.
That's just a waste of my time? I can't think of anything
start
else.
Off, start off quiet and then loud. You
build.
Know what I mean? Yeah, like mutter it, then explode.
That's just a waste of my time?
It's good.
Okay.
Good.
Right,
now, you keep going up on time. I want you to finalize this. Put a period at the end of that sentence. It's just a waste of my time.
That's just a waste of my time.
Yeah, but do it. Come on.
That's just a waste of my time.
Mm-mm. Still going up on
a little
that
more period. End. Definitive.
That's just a waste of my time?
Put yourself in the situation. Imagine Natalia wants to take you to Cotillion or something like that.
Oh, no.
See, now you're in that space.
Exclamation point at the end.
So I just have to be like, okay.
Angry.
That's just a waste of my time.
That's not bad.
I bought it. I bought it. It was honest.
I don't know. I don't feel like Simpsons or Family Guy. I mean, maybe a little more Bob's Burgers.
A little more
material.
Cleveland.
A little more Cleveland. Mm. Yeah. One more big one. Big.
Explode.
That's just a waste of my time.
Okay. Thank you. Have fun with your ball.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll let you know.
We have your information.
So, should I just.
Yeah.
Scoot, scoot. Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
What?
Nice job.
Oh, thanks.
Good job.
Right. Bye.
Thank you.
All
good
right.
job, buddy.
Have fun.
All right.
All right. All right. So he hates school.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's a waste of his time.
And it's just a waste of his time. All right. Let's see. Max Zapata was reminding me of something, which is there's this great story up in the Bay Area. They want to take George Washington High School and they want to paint over some mural that's 83 years old. And I keep hearing $600,000 to paint over murals. Now, I paint over stuff all the time. I looked at the mural. It's about 10 gallons of Sears Easy Livin' Primer and some foam rollers and some dudes at my shop. We can do the whole thing for under $500. But either way, it's a mural. Now, I have a few thoughts on it. And then Chris also reminded me of something that I did 8 years ago that's directly related to George Washington High School. But in general, destroying art we're getting into this slippery slope book burning kind of a realm now. We're kind of getting into this realm where like Amazon's going, we're banning these books and you guys are going, we're going to primer over this artwork. And it's like, why are we banning these books and primering over this artwork? Because we disagree with what these books say and what this artwork depicts. And it's like, okay, but do understand we're at the very beginning.
Right.
Of the slide down the backside of the hill when you start doing this. And again, it's a progressive movement. So we shall not stop. We will keep looking for other murals and other books to ban. I don't know why this animates some people. It feels very, you know, getting a cat out of a tree feels good for an old lady, or helping somebody out with a meal on a wheel or something like that feels good. Just sort of blocking out things so that people you don't know won't be offended.
Redacting history.
Yeah. Also, some of this stuff does fall under the heading of, well, it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to decide whether we want to put this man's name on other things or not, but we certainly can't literally whitewash history with whitewash.
Right.
So they want to take this high school with this 83-year-old mural, and I guess it depicts Washington and troops and Indians and slaves and surveying and seems to do. There was a whole, as a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting, Max Zapata, but back in the day, the L.A. River that ran in front of Valley College, Valley Junior College in Grant High School, there was this long basin, and they put a mural up on the long cement wall. It was like that timeline murals, murals like the
throughout history, or
the
whatever.
Indians were here, and then the settlers got here, and then they opened a Starbucks like at the end, you know, like whatever it was. I just remember as a kid, like kind of like riding my bike past it, going, "Oh, there's where we were in 1642, and then in 1800 they settled the West." Right. And the
that's
guy,
the most history you've ever learned. That was and it. Retained.
That's right. He once shot a man just for snoring.
That mural. That's on there.
That mural's this thing goes prehistoric.
Wow.
It just travels along the wall until you get to actually a picture of you standing there.
A mirror.
Everyone freaks out. That guy's got the same huffy I have. So it's this long timeline wall. Now, we're just looking at a little bit and piece of it, but I don't know, Max, but I think it keeps going, and you might look. Inevitably, you're going to find a square that you disagree with now. So what shall we do?
Mammoths.
Well, I mean, at a certain point, we'll probably be okay with the woolly mammoths. Right. But at a certain point, we will get to the cowboys doing some settling.
There were some trading posts that probably weren't super fair.
There'll be some
measles blankets.
Yeah.
There'll be that. Blankets. Or we can just get to the missions with the crosses on the thing. And we could take some objection to the cross being depicted in the missions that from the West in the 1800s. So you can find things you object to. Two, if in you're looking for them, and now everyone's like a linebacker, head on a swivel, dropping back into a hook zone for things that offend them. Anyway, Max Powell, I'll give you some time to find the rest of that mural if you can. They want to paint over George Washington, and I guess it's George Washington High School. And I think most of the stuff falls under the heading of, well, how could it hurt? If a few people are upset by it, then isn't it worth it? And so on and so forth. It can't hurt. It can't help. It's also, there's an artist who spent many months on this piece of art who's dead, and you're painting over that person's work. Right. It's sort of cosmically weird. Right. Somebody, obviously a person that was skilled, spent a lot of time creating this. So that's number one. And now, 80 years after they died, you've decided you didn't like it anymore. Now we're going to paint over it, number one. Number two, there are people who enjoy or find some value in these things, whether they agree with them or not. We have discussed, we're talking about Roots yesterday with Lou Gossett Jr. I watched the miniseries Roots when I was a kid. I didn't agree with Roots. I just watched it.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. That's where, and I learned. I was like, and also.
You celebrated the slavery.
Yes.
You celebrated the historical.
Yes. Yes.
Significance. Listen, I got what you're putting down, buddy.
Your name is not Kunta Kinte. It's Gerard. No. God, weren't they wanting him to call him?
Toby,
sorry. So I watched it with my lily white mom, and then she like looked at me and went, "Oh, you see what we do? No more. Never again." You know, and it's like, okay, I got a little message out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that was bad, and now this is now. So this notion of like, oh, it's so upsetting. Well, maybe it should be. Like, maybe you should go, okay, this is bad, and let's not relive this.
You're 100% right. I was thinking of a more extreme example. You thought of Roots. I thought of Mein Kampf. The book, it exists. It's out there. It was a book that was hugely influential and turned the course of history in a way, and it still exists today. You can read it and get an insight.
Brian, can't stop reading it.
Cover to cover. You can have my copy if you want to see.
Thank you.
But it's an insight into a twisted mind that changed the course of history. It's not that we shouldn't.
Right.
We shouldn't ban it. We should probably explain that this book had terrible implications.
And there's Helter Skelter. There's all these historical pieces. It's not that we're celebrating them by any means.
Yeah. My thing that was bumped, I don't read, but I got the audiobook. And Jackie Mason narrating, it bumped me.
And for the first chapter and a half, you can barely focus on the message.
I just feel like anybody but Jackie Mason. Yeah. Now, God. I'm sure the price was right. And he's good. He's a wordsmith. But
he's a legend.
Does it feel like a weird mixture?
I could get past it. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
But
who screens these calls?
Think more of like an Alec Baldwin type or somebody with a little gravitas. I just felt like Jackie Mason was a weird call for the audio version of Mein Kampf.
It made sense at the time. He's a legend. He's recognizable. Sold some units.
Definitely moved some product. I just feel like it bumped this.
Okay.
Maybe that's me.
Yeah.
Maybe
hindsight,
that's me.
You're very hindsight, sensitive.
Yeah, 2020.
If he was still alive, I wonder if we should. That'd be a good crank anchor's call. Let's get Jackie Mason. We got a job. Okay. The
Holy
mural.
Shit, that's a long mural.
We're looking at the mural. The mural's like Cesar Chavez in a grape rally, in a grape boycott, and like Martin Luther King, and some guy looks like Nixon and Einstein. And look, you could walk. Oh, this is sort of sitting in the back of the bus, kind of Rosa Parksy kind of. You could look at this mural and find something to object to at some point.
Sure, there's a lot of controversial stuff up
there. If you would like, the one that runs along the sewer in North Hollywood, Van Nuys adjacent. Anyway.
But isn't that the point? Like you said, isn't that the point? There are things there that are obviously disagreeable, and isn't that the point?
That is that, and all the people that are always talking about having an honest dialogue
right.
who never want to have an honest dialogue, these kinds of things do spark a dialogue.
Absolutely.
Auschwitz is around. They have tours of Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. They bring people there and go, see, let's not ever have this happen again.
And Frank's
right.
Yeah, attic.
Yep.
So it's all there. I don't, but here's my bigger problem. There's two things. I feel like there are problems. There are problems that need to be addressed. Painting over a mural or firing a mascot from a sports franchise are completely neither here nor there when it comes to whatever problems you're trying to fix for this community. And it satiates a little. Like there's a little sense of,
well, that's done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, our work is done. We can rest a little bit here. No, the shootings in the inner city are exactly the same with the mural or without the mural. And many cultures have a version of this, and getting rid of the symbols of that never move the needle at all. So not only, so you go, what's the harm in doing this? Well, the harm is you could kind of feel good about yourself.
You think your work's done.
Move on to your next project.
Yeah.
The mural was painted in the 30s as part of FDR's New Deal to help lift America out of the Great Depression. And anyway, the guy was Russian and he's dead. But the thing that's funny, I was pitching an animated show to Fox about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, maybe more, Mr. Burcham, shop teacher, and he taught at George Washington Junior High, and the opening scene of that 9-minute animatic, which you can see up on YouTube, is George Washington Junior High, George is being altered. Mm-hmm.
In the Tacon Carver?
This is, yeah this
that's
is
clever.
This is the
that's right, that was good.
This is, they took George Washington, they tacked, oh, I tacked, this is my goddamn joke, tacked a Carver on there, and then home of the Braves, and we put Vikings in front of it and just put a Viking helmet on the Braves. And this, I wrote these jokes almost 10 years ago. Like, I was feeling, it's sort of a, in 50 years, we'll all be chicks. Like, I was sort of feeling this. I wasn't doing this stuff 20 years ago, but I was feeling it 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. Like, where are we going? What's going on? It's funny that George Washington Junior High was literally the same mural, same name of the, and as a kid, I mean, could you imagine, like, George Washington, oh, we got a problem with that. Like, you would be vexed. Like, you'd be like,
the greatest American hero.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. The best part of this joke is how cynically crude the replacement is. Like, let's just satiate the people who want it, who want it changed, and we'll move on.
Right. I remember working with the illustrators on this for so long about, like, how the helmet had to just look like it was set on there, and Carver needs to just be kind of generic and just tacked on. And they kept giving me, like, stylized or, like, nice versions of it, because what I've realized is no one ever gets your joke. Like, it's like, no, there was a sign. The sign's been there for 50 years, and then somebody over the one weekend had to fix it.
They're hammers, and you asked them for a nail. You know what I mean? Like, like they're a graphic designer. It's like, all right, well, let's make a beautiful sign.
Right.
No, the point is it's not supposed to be beautiful. It's supposed to be tacked on and rudimentary.
Right. I just remember
crude
going over that. And for me, you get two birds with one stone because you get the Indian thing and you get to bring down George Washington at the same time. At a certain point, my character's pissed off that Carver didn't invent peanut butter, which he didn't.
Oh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He invented every use for the peanut butter.
He mashed peanuts all day long in a lab, and he never spread it on a piece of toast. Crazy.
He had every use for a peanut except the one that endured.
Like his wife would come down and go, George, getting time for lunch. What would you like? Egg salad. Now leave me alone. I need this mortar and pestle and the peanuts.
I'm surrounded by peanuts. Water everywhere. Not a drop to drink.
And what was his... What was... go to the part, Max Batty, we can play where my guy figures out... God, he's with the Straub. It was a German guy who invented peanut butter. Yeah. Andrew Straub or something like that. I remember us looking it up. But anyway, there it is. George Washington, Carver High, Junior High, home of what was Braves was now Vikings.
This wasn't timely enough. It was ahead of its time. It wasn't in the air. You felt it.
Here's the goddamn problem with being me. I have these ideas, but because I'm a goddamn genius, I have them before other people have them. And then when I pitch them to the fucking idiots, they go, huh? We're going to do Bob's Burgers because we don't want any of this. Obviously, it was before its time. Now it'd be perfect. Burgeon would be perfect. This is exactly the time, the temperature. This is exactly the political environment. This is pre-Trump and all this. Yep. This is me pitching this shit to goddamn Fox 8 years ago and them going, no, we want the hipster shit. God damn it. Sucks being a genius. Mm-hmm. Go find Sonny. Tell him he's lucky he's average. He can enjoy himself.
You're like Homer Simpson. You need the crayon back in your nose.
That's
right. You can't get around in this
world.
That's
right. All right. Let's see. I'll let you find me pitching peanut George Washington and his peanuts and Andrew Straub, I think the guy's name was, at the time we wrote. I don't know. It's 2 minutes into the thing or something. Geico, everyone's got the to-do list. How about... You save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance. That sounds good. You don't have to go anywhere. Just slide on over to your computer and go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day. That is Geico. Geico.com. Doing a benefit tonight in Irvine.
Oh, close.
75-minute drive to be there by...
It's very benevolent of you.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Who's it benefiting?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have benefits?
Troops, something troops, somebody with troops.
Okay.
I don't know. Who's it benefit?
Troop Beverly Hills.
How do we benefit?
F Troop.
Yeah.
Stormtroopers.
Fold of Honor.
Fold of Honor. What are they...
Good day for GSB.
Yeah, so it benefits them.
Yeah, supports our military families.
Supports military families.
Yeah, you got to go
there. There you go.
That's right. All right, we'll see if you can find that part. I don't know. I'm in the classroom, Max Zapata. It's got to be about 2 minutes, 3 minutes into the thing. The guys get busted for bringing a peanut butter and jelly sandwich into the classroom.
Which also made no sense 8 years ago.
Yeah. Ooh, somebody went falconing last year and wants to discuss. All right, we need a minute, Max Pata?
Yes.
Why is it? Why can we not?
We're juggling the phone calls and all this. We got a lot going on back here.
All right.
I have to watch in real time.
John, 44, Cleveland.
Hey, Adam. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Hi. You went falconing?
I did. Yeah, I think it's a pretty good things only white people talk about in addition to falconing. But we went to Ireland. And we met a dude out on a country road. He was right out of Central Casting. He had the little Sprinter van, you know, with the screen print logo all over the side of it. And he got out. He had the khaki pants, khaki windbreaker, even had the floppy khaki hat on. And it was exactly what you'd think. Interestingly, they are not falcons. They haven't used falcons for over 100 years. They're all hawks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Okay. Sure. That makes sense.
He gets out the hawks, and he starts telling us there's two types. One type is just for show, and they you know, compete with them. And the other type is for hunting. And the hunting story is pretty crazy, Adam, because it goes right to your crow series. He said he will get four hawks together that have never met before. He takes them out for about 2 hours, and they fly around. He takes them back the next day, and they already have a coordinated hunting team with roles all worked out.
Wow.
One hawk becomes like the finder of the prey. The other three, they sit in trees nearby and form a triangle and actually send signals to the one that's finding the mice or you know, squirrels or whatever they're looking for. It's pretty crazy.
It's like Predator.
And then he makes a ton of money. Yeah, exactly.
Stay in the trees and they triangulate, and then boom. Mm-hmm.
Well, back to my crow theory, but I'll just make it a hawk theory. I see a lot of hawks out here, like soaring around. They don't seem to be. Yeah, they don't. They seem to be fairly abundant and very trainable. And like somebody will send me a tweet, and it'll be a picture of some crazy guy in the street with a knife, and the cops are like yelling, "Drop the knife! Drop the knife! Drop the!" And the guy starts charging at him, and then they shoot at him, and then he gets up again. It's like, why are we doing that? Like, why not send in the Falcons to that guy's head?
The school shooter situation is that should happen, because you can have the birds there, you can feed them, you can keep them, and then if they, you know, detect a kid with a gun or whatever, they see a gun.
Dive bomb.
Yeah, what are you going to do, shoot at the birds? You're flailing at that point. You know, 8 birds attack you.
Yeah, or the guy's just out in the middle of the intersection, and he's the junkie with the knife, and the cops are all around him.
What are you going to do, just flail with the knife?
The best day of that guy's life is if these birds attack his head and the cops don't fill him full of lead. I didn't know it was going to rhyme, but there you go.
Happy accident.
I don't go. Look. We've figured out that okay, we may use birds to police other birds at the airport or the seafood restaurant or the venue or the whatever it is. Like, okay, we can use birds and they can do our bidding for things that we would like that involve, at the airport, safety. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because the birds, the geese get sucked in, the birds strike, and the engines blow up and all that. Okay, good. We've crossed that bridge. We're there now. And then we have guys that are experts, and those guys know. And then when it comes to the military or the police, we have canine units. Mm-hmm. Like, these dogs can serve us. Mm-hmm. They can attack that guy. They can sniff out the bomb, or they can do whatever. Good. Let's just take it with the Falcon. I mean, first off, how pumped would you be? Like, you know when your city does something? Like, I was watching my city hose down hobo shit yesterday, and I was like, ugh.
Glorious.
But if I passed a van that had a big Falcon on it, it was the LAPD Falcon team, and it's like, and I knew they could go out and, you know, get these guys who caused a threat to themselves or the officers or whatever. Like, I'd go, good. Somebody's thinking. Smart. Love it.
Outside the box.
Yep. Work it. Yes.
Yeah. And we have all the evidence in the world that it works.
What?
So what's the holdup?
John, what could you do if I was standing in the middle of an intersection with a machete and three of these things came at my head, how could I possibly fend myself off?
He showed us some of the techniques they use. The beak is as hard as pliers coming down on your nose, your eye. And like I said, one day of training, not even training, they figure it out themselves in 2 hours. Four birds that have never met figure out how to form an attack team.
Right.
To your example with the crazy guy with the machete, he's as likely to cut himself as he is to actually get contact with a bird.
Right. Also, you get to all the whatever racial components of everything all the time. Now, eventually, Jesse Jackson would call the Falcons racist, but most right-thinking people would just go, look, the birds attack the guy. They don't care what color he is.
They're trained to look for swords.
Yeah, who's got the gun?
You're right.
Who's got the whatever? But
I think they could use a team of them at Disneyland.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine a school shooting scenario with this thing flying at the school shooter? Like, there's no other choice other than to run or to flail or to whatever.
Maybe shoot wildly at the birds, but that's not going to last very long. It's the most
disruptive thing that could happen to your head. Look, we had a 4-ounce mockingbird.
Finch.
We had a bird that was the size of something like if there was an auto manufacturer that had a bird as its crest, as its sort of, you know, mascot, and they put it on the hood of their car, that is the actual size of this bird. It fucked all our shit up.
Became a recurring bit.
I had to put a helmet on and run to the next studio.
That is true.
Now, if those were hawks, we'd be dead. Max Batta,
we'd still be living in this room.
And drop your ass into a volcano, and nobody would care.
It'd be a bird box scenario. We'd be living in this room.
Right. That's right. That's right. I would care. Nobody else would care. But
feel better.
That's what I'm saying. Why not? Why not have one? Wouldn't you like one at every school, just perched up there watching kids like walking in?
Like a handful, a murder, as it were.
So, John?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Adam, we have bald eagles in Northeast Ohio, and they are a-holes. I actually saw a hawk take out a bald eagle mid-air about a year ago.
It's a federal crime.
That bald eagle in the air until it was gone. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there was. I would train these things. Thanks, John. I would train these things that if there was a schoolyard fight, the hawk just flew down in it because it immediately breaks.
Break it up.
You have to cease everything when a hawk lands on your head.
Well said.
You just have to. All right. So you go.
I hope they're equipped to do more than just rip eyes out, though.
Some folks are like, give the teachers guns. Everyone's like, no. And then some politician, like 2 years ago, was like, give the teachers a bucket of rocks. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
Or,
not sure how that's going to work. But the hawk, I could get behind. Plus, if the school was named the Hawks, like the Atlanta Hawks or something, it's going to be less than 10% of the schools. But if the one's called the Hawks, or after we change George Washington's name to the Hawks, that'll be great to have an actual hawk and bring it out for the football game.
The George Washington Carver Hawks.
That's right. Oh, I wonder if we'll dig up some dirt on Carver.
Oh, it's coming.
It's coming.
Everyone's getting their turn.
So why don't we just tack Carver onto George Washington, and then we'll be good. All right. You have the spot, by the way. Oh, sorry. The clip with Allison Janney, Best Supporting Actress 2018.
Got it. Peanut butter, Mr. Bertram.
These are peanut butter sniffing dogs?
We had to retrain them, but yes. Now, Mr. Bertram, I know you know Carver is a nut-free zone.
Am I the only one who sees the irony in banning peanut butter at a school named after the guy who invented peanut butter?
Actually, he didn't invent peanut butter.
I'm pretty sure the guy who dedicated his entire life to mashing peanuts invented peanut butter, okay?
Ambrose Straub invented peanut butter?
Jesus Christ! You're telling me George Washington Carver made axle grease and lantern oil out of peanuts, but missed peanut butter altogether? Then why'd we bother changing the name of the school?
Mr. Bertram. I was thinking about this stuff. Smelling which way the wind was blowing. All right, Max Pata, take care. Let's see. What do we got? What's our breakdown here? Is Ian here yet?
He just walked in.
Oh, Ian just walked in. All right, we're going to take a break and bring in Ian Edwards. I was just watching a stand-up special last night. Funny and innovative. Did it like a TED Talk.
His not a TED Talk.
Yeah, it was really, really kind of crazy. And I have many questions because I did a stand-up special that had photographs in it as well. And I found it interesting. And I think he had like a clicker in his hand and he was doing like the TED Talk clicker. And was that on the TED Talk stage?
Or do they have it made to look like one? Yeah.
Do they have a TED Talk stage?
There are several.
Yeah, there must be several now. Orange County,
Do they start in the Bay Area with like a TED Talk stage? They'd bring people in. They must have done that initially.
And then expanded.
And then they franchised it. But it was probably some Bay Area or Austin, Texas or something like that. TED Talk, bring it in. I could do one on birds. I'll just be there. They'll fuck your shit up, dude.
I see it.
All right. Anyway, Ian Edwards is going to be in, and we'll talk all about stand-up. And also, this Ian's worked on Crashing and The Carmichael Show and lots of good Black Dynamite, the movie. We'll talk to him right after this.
Thursday night, legendary FBI undercover agent Mike McGowan joins us at the 10E Booze and Book Club. Enjoy exquisite Lebanese cuisine, grab a Mangria signature cocktail, and kick back while I read from Mike's memoir, Ghost, My 30 Years as an FBI Undercover Agent. Incredibly, my own employer, the agency I had worked like a dog and risked my life for, was now accusing me of stealing almost $200 million in heroin and cocaine and reselling it on the street like a common dope dealer. Not only was my perfect life over and the reputation I had worked so hard to establish in the toilet, if I couldn't find a way to prove my innocence, there was a strong possibility I'd end up in federal prison hanging with some of the asshole drug dealers I'd put away. I was in for the fight of my life. This Thursday night at 10E in downtown Los Angeles, the 10E Booze and Book Club. For more information, follow at Corolla Drinks and visit boozeandbookclub.com.
White women, Lena Dunham is your leader. Because she's fat. And it's not an insult. It's not an insult. You know, she's body positive. You know, so she's like outspoken and everybody feels like, oh, what a brave woman. But you know how many fat black women don't give a fuck that they're fat? Like, they walk around proudly every day and thinking that, you know, they believe they're tens in their head. Like, Lena Dunham is just the first white fat black woman.
Ian Edwards on the Adam Carolla Show.
Very funny stand-up special. Ian Talk, ideas not worth spreading. This Friday at midnight on Comedy Central, although I got to see it already. And
we get it. You're in the industry.
Yeah. Funny, insightful, innovative. Bill Burr brings you out.
Uh-huh.
You go out there. It was that at a TED Talk facility?
No, we did it at a place that's had TED Talks before. It's a theater in Long Beach. You know, they do plays there. You could do anything, music things there. But we wanted to make it look as much like a TED Talk as possible. So we went to a bunch of places, and they've actually had TED Talks there. And then we found a TED Talk set online. We looked at a bunch of them. And we want it to look like this one or a combination of a bunch of them.
Well, it was a really funny stand-up special. Mm-hmm. I found it to be, well, it there's some guys have like a funny cadence and some guys have a funny sort of turn of phrase. But mm-hmm. some point there needs to be ideas. Like yeah. those ideas are the ones that's kind of what sticks. The jokes are kind of empty calories sometimes with some mm-hmm. guys. Which is still fine. Like, there's room in your life for cotton candy. But the right. stuff you walk away mm-hmm. thinking about, or you're going, oh, I yeah. see what he did there, are great. And then if you can take that and mix it with the punchline, then you have a great stand-up special. Some guys go all ideas, and then that's good, but that's all just protein. You know, yeah. you want a little cotton candy in yeah. there, right? So I don't know how you approach it when you're constructing it.
I like everything in there, you know, like a full meal. Like, the best comics I've looked up to, like Pryor and Carlin and Cosby before his situation. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean? Cosby from prison you're talking about look up to?
Pre-prison.
Oh, like when he was in a holding facility, to be transferred?
No, he's being
more pre than that.
Oh, like the bus to the holding facility?
Like, no, pre.
Like mugshots?
No, pre that.
Oh, just during the trial.
Pre
leave
that.
Leave it at that. Yeah, that's fine. We get it. You look up to the man.
Trial Cosby was funny. He was hilarious if you watched the trial.
So, yeah, those guys you were going to say.
Yeah, they just like build something and they make a point, you know, Hicks and Stanhope, they make a point and they have something funny about it. Just as funny if it was like a just straight up cotton candy. And there's something goofy about it and there's something poignant about it. Just some of everything, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I guess I aspire to that.
The format also, as a comedian, I just look at everything, and it, it was 45 minutes long. So I'm like, oh, is that okay?
That's
allowed? Allowed to do that? Because like, there's a 30-minute version of a stand-up special, and there's an hour version of a stand-up special, but this is in the middle. And then I'm kind of realizing I don't think there are any more rules.
Right.
I just think there's what you're doing.
Comedy Central, I don't know what version they gave you, but they had to fit in like 6 to 9 commercial breaks. So that's probably why. Because we had more, we cut some out.
Do they run it unedited on Comedy Central?
Online
or on the network?
I don't even think online. I think they'll put some commercials in online.
But will they edit your verbiage?
Well, there's an uncensored version, and then there's a censored version. So I think that when they air it at midnight, it's going to be uncensored. And then if they air it other times, you're going to get the censored version.
Such a weird, again, that we're still living in this world.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was really funny, and
it's
really interesting, and the format is cool, and the visuals are cool, and and I guess you were just working a clicker for the photographs.
Yeah.
How does Bill Burr factor into this?
Well, first, I was like, I got to shoot a special at the end of last year, like regardless. Like, this material is going to get stale. I'm going to get tired of saying it, and then I'm going to move on from it, and then when it's time to do a special with it, I have to relearn this thing that I'm tired of all over again. So Aristotle, who she knows, he's a comic and a director. We were looking for venues, and we were going to shoot this thing. I was going to spend my own money and shoot this thing. Then Bill got the deal with All Things Comedy, with Comedy Central, to shoot 3 specials. And then he hit me up, and he's like, hey, I want you to be one of the specials. So now I got to keep my money in the bank and take some of their money,
right,
and shoot the special, and also have a place where it's going to air.
Right.
So that's how came in. Yeah, and then he liked the concept. He got it right away, him and Al Magical. Like, they're comics. You don't have to fight with them. They get funny. So it's just perfect.
One of my thoughts was the TED logo was like the TED logo at the beginning. And I thought, I don't know, are they litigious? Did you have to clear it with them? Like,
so far, I think there's a parody law.
There is.
So I don't know. So just don't bring it up.
Stop talking about it.
Adam.
No, it's funny.
I'm still worried about it.
If you ever talk to anybody about the law, they give you 2 stories. They go, hey, it's parody. You can do whatever you want as long as it's parody. And then you go, oh, good. And then they pause and they go, but anyone can sue anyone for any reason. I'm like, okay,
which is it?
You just covered your own point with you tell me I could sue my cat, or my cat could sue me anytime, anywhere.
For any reason.
Thank you, Nostradamus. You've explained anyone could sue anyone at any time.
Yeah, there's some cats I want to sue, so I'm glad you can sue cats. For real.
So anyway, it's a really funny special. I was looking at your writing credits. I just saw Pete Holmes a couple days ago at the Comedy Store, and Crashing. My favorite program. Sad that it's canceled, but I loved Crashing. I felt it'd be insanely realistic. It seemed like such a great glimpse into all stages, pardon the puns, of stand-up. Like the beginning, the open micers, the trying to get
the
mic time, the middles, the headliners, the guys going on the road, all the trials and the tribulations. I mean, obviously, it just was written by comedians.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of comics in the writer's room, like Mike Lawrence, Greg Fitzsimmons, a bunch of them. Pete was in there, you know, Judd's done comedy. He was in there. And there's other comics. I'm blanking on them right now. But it was, I don't even remember. There was just one writer that wasn't a comic.
Right.
That had written with Judd for a long time.
It's good. Like, it's fine if you have someone who's really good with shaping stories.
Right.
They don't need to tell jokes, but
they had that one guy.
The jokes. Yeah. Get the one guy's good at shaping, and then let him sort of navigate and let the comics be the wheelmen.
Right.
All right.
It's a very funny stand-up special, and it's It's innovative, I would say. Have to say innovative. So you've done yourself proud. Yes.
Would you like to know where the first TED Talk was?
Yes.
Where it originated?
I would just assume the Bay Area, but that sounds too easy.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Seattle.
Any guesses, Ian?
Seattle sounds good.
Now, as far as I can tell, the first one was in 1984. It was a one-off. It was a big financial failure. It didn't do well. It was in, I'm almost positive it was in Monterey, California, which is not quite the Bay Area, but more or less, you know, to the rest of the world, it's the Bay Area. In 1990, they...
I wonder what venue in Monterey.
So they re-upped it in 1990. That's when it became an annual thing, and that's when it became successful. But the first one was in 84. It was a flop. No one...
How was it a flop? Because no one showed up.
No one attended. They didn't make any money. It was a financial failure. They had, it says they had like demonstrations from Lucasfilm, and the first, what was it? They had an e-reader for books, and...
I get why that failed.
Yeah. Oh, and they had a compact disc demonstration, because CDs were brand new technology at that point. And 1990 is when, that was in Monterey, for sure, because I can see it on their site.
Well, I'm going to be at the Golden State Theater August 17th.
Celebrating the first TED Talk.
Whatever you say after this, I'm going to call this home of the TED Talk. So glad to be back. Right. But Monterey, because I go there every year for the car race, is a little town.
That's a strange
There's
place
not
for us to start.
A lot of venues. Well, so you could, I've probably played one of those venues there.
The original TED Talker.
But now they've done thousands, and I think they made...
All over the world.
Yeah. And I just stole one. So.
Is TED, is that an acronym,
it's
or is that the name of a guy?
No, it's Technology Entertainment Design, I think.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's see. We got the news. Adam Ray's going to come open for me at Monterey.
Your TED Talk?
For my TED Talk in Monterey.
Anyway, that's my time.
All right, let me hit Castrol. We have a Castrol Challenge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with hashtag Castrol Challenge with your question for Castrol Challenge, brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times,
fool.
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading full synthetic oils. What's our question, Max Zapata?
At Hot Rods and Stuff on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge. What are your thoughts on drag racing? Have you tried it? Did you like it? What do you think?
Well, here's what I know. Some go, some blow. That's what I've learned. I've learned that they took place at... OCIR, Orange County International Raceway, where the 210, the 10, and the 405 explode.
Oh, I thought they just
learned
met.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
They explode.
When the flag drops.
Oh, when the green flag drops. The bullshit stops.
Right.
I've learned that.
Yeah.
Although they don't have a green flag, they have a Christmas tree.
Oh.
The lights.
Oh, wow.
Declining.
Magical.
They come down. Boom.
Wow.
They go.
Glorious.
I have learned that Big Daddy Don Garlett's in town. He's going to be there with the Chi-Town Hustler.
Sure.
He's going to be there with the Hawaiian, Billy McEwen.
Does he have other plans?
Well, surely Cha-Cha Muldowney thinks that trophy's for her, but
right.
Big Daddy's got other plans.
Right.
What language is this?
Papa Do Run Run?
Playing the infield. Nope. English Leather Girls are going to be there. And Friday night is Fox night, where foxes get in free.
I got to get up on this white slang.
Oh, yeah. This is as wide as it gets. It's a drag racing commercial from the 70s. It is super white talk. Mm-hmm. It's kind of it was a version of what, you know, how I'm trying to think of our white phrases now. We have, yeah, it is. That's like a white,
right?
White thing. We have right.
So good.
Right.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is that in the form of a drag racing commercial. No, I've never really done much drag racing, although it sounds cool, but it also feels like you're just going in a straight line. And for me, I like the road course where you're doing a lot more turning and having some elevation changes. But look, God bless you. If you're out there destroying the planet by burning vulcanized rubber and nitromethane, you're a hero.
You're all right in our book.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do these days.
Mm-hmm. That is the biggest. Drag racing, first off, before they do the drag race, they do the burnout. The burnout just leaves a huge pile of burnt rubber smoke that just goes into the atmosphere. It's weird. All the greenhouse gas folks and the AOCs and the Al Gores and stuff, they're all about talking about big oil and this company and that company and everything else. They leave drag racing off the list. If you saw a drag racing burnout, it's insane. It's literally, it's like if they came up with a sport to destroy the environment. That's all.
That's the
real race. How fast can we all have to move to another planet or live underground? Because that's all drag racing is. It's just smoky, smoky burnouts. Max Pata, find me a funny car burnout. Then they push them back. Then they go down. Then they blow up. Then they go rebuild the engine in between race. And then they go out and blow up everything again.
Is it like one set of tires per race?
Yeah.
Oh, no. They burn up tires and chuck them in a landfill.
Wow.
Yeah, they are single-handedly going to destroy this environment we're living in. Mm-hmm. When we have to move and populate Venus or Mars or the moon, it'll be because of Big Daddy Don Garland, Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney, and the Chi-Town Hustler.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Public Enemy 1, 2, and 3.
That's right. What do we have? Oh, the human stick of dynamite? Yeah, all they do is destroy the environment. Find a good burnout. They got to burn them out. You can't.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Tires have to get sticky in order to get traction. Mm-hmm. And in order to get sticky, you got to put heat into them. So before the drag race, they light up the tires, they burn them out, they get them all sticky and gooey, and then they push them back to where they were. Okay. The starting line, and then they start the race immediately with their sticky, gooey tires.
Seen millennials do that as a challenge with their bodies on the internet.
Really?
Like, light their bodies on fire.
Really?
Yeah, you never
to
seen
get traction?
That? I don't know for what, but not for such a worthy cause.
Yeah. They put it out by eating one of those Tide Pods.
Tide Pods. Oh, yeah, one of those.
We're the dumbest. We're so out of problems. All right, Max Pat, what do you got? Burnout?
Yeah, we found one of Don Garlitz.
It could be any. It doesn't have to be Don. Just a burnout. It's fine. Just lighten up those.
Don't put it up. Right
those tires. Okay. Oh, this is on a street. Do you have a drag racing burnout, Maxipata? Like, isn't that just all over the internet? Like every single drag race just does the. Yeah. Are you talking to Dylan? Dylan likes soccer. Just light it up, and then they stop, and then they push them back, and then they light them, and then they light up the tires. Yeah, you'll find a better one.
There's
than
so
that.
Much smoke, you cannot see the car anymore.
Oh, they'll hit you with a better angle than that, Max.
And you said they push it back means the car doesn't even go in reverse.
You know, I don't think those transmissions have a reverse in them. Well, because it's not like I'm going to get my dragster and get some groceries. You guys want anything from the Whole Foods? Like I
like that it's even more of a waste.
Oh,
car. Let's build a car that can't go in reverse. It's straight, fast, rips up tires.
It can only carry no luggage, no groceries. It
no
only
passenger.
Holds one racist. That's all.
Racist.
That's good. All. I mean, drag race.
Right.
What'd you hear?
All right, Max, man, this is driving things. I feel like this is the internet is built for cars. This is not at a drag. This is not at a drag strip. But all right, you can fire it up. Here we go. Let's hear it. Oh, maybe it is at a drag strip. Oh, they hit the brakes. They hit the front brakes and just light it up. Here comes a funny car. Now they're going to light this. Now they're going to light it up.
Oof.
All right.
I'll get your asthma to kick up.
All right, Max Bradley. Find me a big cloud. All right. Woo! Let's. That's drag racing, man. Some go, some blow. Hey, we got Big Daddy Dom Garland's coming out of there. Sure. Cha-Cha Muldowney. The Hawaiian Billy McEwen's coming in. TV Tommy Ivo. the Chi-Town Hustler. English Leather Girls are going to be there. Fox is free Friday night. Eliminations, 12 noon. Races under the line. Human Stick of Dynamite's going to take the infield. Look out, kid. This cash bin can cost. And the Wheeling School Bus. This is a stock school bus filled with special needs kids in the back. Front engine off the ground. And that baby lights it up. Is that the... Who is this?
Molly Crew. Molly Crew.
Oh, songs
Molly
about Crew. Drag racing.
No.
It's about drugs.
Oh, there's been a lot of songs about drag racing. I don't think anyone's ever rapped about drag racing.
Maybe Lil Nas X will get on that next.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. We will take ourselves a quickie break. Ian Edwards is here. Funny stand-up special out. We'll take a break. We'll do the news right after this.